Blog Talk Radio.
Good night to you, and hello to Jennifer Henry, a natural born psychic medium and someone who offers spiritual readings professionally and has been since 1989. That's about 30 years. She's helped people all over the world. Jennifer Henry is certified in mediumship and medical intuition, and she holds degrees in liberal arts and Spanish, as well as being a licensed non-denominational minister. Jennifer Henry is the founder of the University of Light, which offers readings, mentorships, and classes to facilitate your psychic development. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you, Susan. Thank you so much for having me.
What made you know that you were a natural-born psychic and medium? Did your mom tell you?
No. You know, actually, I want to say all of us are psychic. We all have a set of inner senses. You know, we're all a soul. Some souls have physical bodies and some souls don't. But we can all communicate. We all have this innate ability to communicate on an inner level, on a deeper level that goes beyond our physical senses. So just like we all have a bicep, we don't all go to the gym and work it out. So I just want to say, you know, it's not super special. I'm like not super special. I just have been to the gym. You know, I've been to the gym for a lot of years. And when I was a really young child, I used to have these experiences where I felt like I was getting bigger than my house, bigger than my environment, and I was just huger than my body. It was kind of hard to put into words. And I felt people around me that didn't have bodies, and I didn't have anybody to validate that. I didn't have anything in my outside world to make, you know, I didn't have any grooves in my brain to make sense of what was happening to me. So I just kind of shut it down. And then in my late teens, I just was fascinated by anything psychic, anything spiritual, anything on the other side. Even as a kid, watching the shows like Bewitched and all that kind of stuff really just caught my interest. So I think
I'm not hearing you. You still there? Hello?
It looks like her call's still there. I don't know if her call dropped or not.
Huh.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, good. Well, mystery solved. I don't know what happened. I don't know where I was in my when you lost me, but
well, you were talking about as a child that you were very sensitive to psychic phenomena, but there was no one around you to validate that, and so you shut it down, but that your interest really whetted again as when you got into your teenage years.
Correct. And so then in my early 20s, a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go get a reading. I didn't even know what she was talking. I didn't even know what that meant. So I went to this woman's house, which was just this little nondescript little apartment, and she was just this average, normal-looking person, nothing special, and she just sat there and started telling me all these things about myself and my mother and my childhood and my feelings, and I thought, how is she doing this? I need to learn how to do this. And that was the beginning for me. Then I was on a mission to find a teacher. This was in my early 20s, and so that was the beginning of my path.
Fascinating. So you've just told us that everyone has a psychic ability, just like everyone has biceps.
Absolutely.
But if you go to the gym, you can make your biceps stronger by practicing and repetition, and that you can study and make your intuition stronger, and that's what you started doing in your 20s.
Correct. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What happened next?
Well, you know, I have had so many chapters in my life, but always the theme was spiritual growth, trying to figure out what this universe is about, why I'm here. And really the drive for me wasn't so that it was, you know, self-gain. Oh, wow, let me just get really psychic. It was like, let me figure out what this is about. Why are we here? How does one find that inner peaceful place? How do I connect with Source? What happens when we die? You know, so my drive in my development was really to solve some of these mysteries, which I have to say, the more I know, the more I don't know, and the more I really understand that it's a matter of just being in the mystery so much. You know, I don't know how to really, I understand some of the mechanics of mediumship and some of the mechanics of psychic development, and I'm able to teach that. But ultimately, you know, it's just a miracle, and it's a big mystery. So I'm just the eternal student. I'll never be done. I'll never be finished. And it's just infinity to how much we can grow and develop and understand and become self-aware.
Amazing. Amazing. So you distinguish between being a psychic and being a medium.
There's a difference, Susan, where everybody is psychic. So, you know, at night you have a dream, you know, that's your clairvoyance, inner vision. You can see something in your mind. You go into a store or you go into a room full of people and you feel the vibe. You know, I don't like the vibe in here. Or you meet somebody, you're like, you know, I just really like you. I don't even know why. I just like your vibe. Well, you're using your clairsentience, your feeling on a feeling level. You're using a psychic muscle to interpret your environment. So we all have that. That's innate within everybody. So everybody's psychic, but not everybody is able to be that medium. So we have spirits on the other side. We have souls who have left these physical bodies, and the vibration is at a much higher rate. It's faster. It's like, I like the analogy of a fan. If you see a fan in a room and it's spinning really, really, really fast, you can't see the blades. But when the fan begins to slow down, the vibration slows down, you can see the blades. Oh, yeah, that's what that is. So human life here, 3D here on Earth, it's a much heavier, slower vibration. So the work of a medium is one who can elevate, step up their vibration, and get into the middle zone, be a medium. I'm in the medium range between the spirit world.
A medium.
Yes. And
oh, wonderful.
That a medium,
wow.
Isn't that great how that work comes? And so the psychic piece fits in because as a medium, the medium uses the psychic senses to communicate with souls on the other side. That's the avenue of communication. So every medium has to be psychic, but not every person on the earth does that. So not every person who is psychic, which is everybody, is a medium. But everybody could aspire, you know, just like everybody could learn to, everybody can sing. Some people, you know, they maybe
right.
should stay in the shower. Other people
right.
go to opera, right?
But nonetheless, we can all sing.
Correct. Yeah, right. And it's not everybody's calling. It's not everybody's natural proclivity to be that medium. But it's absolutely, I have to say, it's absolutely a spiritual path, you know, and that's how I see it. It's a path to understanding the divinity within and understanding that life continues after death and that life is eternal. And almost every message that comes through from the other side is just full of love. That's all that we get, really very, very, very beautiful. To be the voice box for this higher wisdom to come through.
Absolutely. Amazing.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, of the spiritual path, do you believe that everyone has spiritual guides?
I do. I believe that none of us are alone, that we have guidance around us. We have higher teachers I like the analogy of an elevator. So as we kind of look at, you know, in the Bible it says, in my Father's home are many rooms, or in my Father's mansion are many rooms, something like this. I'm butchering that, but it's something like that.
Yes.
It means there are many levels to life. So here is on human level, we have a limited amount of, or a limited, you know, awareness. Our consciousness is developed to a certain degree. We have a limited perspective. And then as we leave these bodies, our perspective can get bigger. It can get grander. We understand more. We're outside the confines of our humanness. And so we have loved ones on the other side who don't have bodies anymore, but you know, they're kind of just like us. They're still evolving and growing, and they're not master teachers.
So we have that those guides around us that are our grandparents, people that loved us on the earth and will continue to love us and be in touch with us. And then beyond that, we have higher teachers that maybe never had physical bodies, that just have a much higher awareness and greater perspective. And they're here to not take our lessons away, but help open doors, help nudge us. And when we pray, when we ask for help, then, you know, we can be impressed with the guidance and the wisdom of our higher teachers. So all of us have that. And nobody dies alone. There can be somebody, maybe some homeless person with no family, and they just, you know, wither on the street and go to the other side. They're greeted by their guides. They're greeted by people that they know who have passed on. Nobody ever dies alone, and nobody lives on earth alone. So that I love the comfort in the knowing of that. And it's something that I just feel, you know. It's nothing that I've read in a book and regurgitated. Honestly, I feel it.
Yes. Yes, there's an incredible book. I don't know if you've read it, called Proof of Heaven.
No, I haven't. Who wrote it?
I don't know the name right off my head. I do apologize. But the person who wrote it is an MD, and he's a neurosurgeon, so he's quite aware of the operation of the brain. And as far as he was concerned, there was no such thing as life after death, and that all of the stuff that we're talking about was simply firing that happened as the brain was shutting down. He got a very rare kind of meningitis that does shut down the brain. And nonetheless, while his brain was shut down and incapable of having any thoughts, he had some pretty incredible experiences, including meeting a sister that he never knew he had.
Wow.
And
wow.
He had to write this book called Proof of Heaven because he said, I can't keep quiet about it.
I love that. I love that. You know, my mother is a hospice nurse and she's retired now, but many, many years, like, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And she's not somebody who would just jump in the boat of our conversation, you know, very mainstream. But she would just tell me stories. She's over and over, time and time again, as she's with somebody in their final moments, final days, they start talking about all the people on the other side. Oh, my mother, you know, whoever it is. And it's something that she couldn't dismiss because, oh, just one person said that. It's like over and over all the time. So it's really, you know, I don't feel like I need to prove this to anybody, but it's just so documented all over the place by the book you're talking about and by people that work with people who are dying, near-death experiences. They come back and they have stories to tell. Same thing.
So is it necessary, suppose somebody's listening to this and saying, this is just too strange for me. I just think that when you die, like, you go away. And there's nothing there. So that's the mediumship that you're talking about. But even that person still has psychic abilities, right?
Absolutely. Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
There's no belief really needed in terms of our psychic ability. It's like saying, I don't believe I have leg muscles. Well, whether you believe it or not, do.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Everybody has that hunch. Oh, I knew you were going to call. You know, not everybody's going to acknowledge. You know, because some people are just so entrenched in their left brain logical mind, and that's just what they grasp and what they understand is real. So they dismiss, oh, a coincidence, or, you know, and that's fine. We're all in different places. But everybody's got the muscles. Everybody
but
does.
Everybody's, whether
yeah.
they use it or not.
Right, or whether they're aware of it or not, because I believe we all use it to some degree or another. You know, you just know. You kind of just know when to leave the house so you're not going to hit traffic. You just kind of know. You just kind of know things. That kind of know, that's your intuition. Those are your inner psychic senses that are responding and working with the energy that you're just interpreting. That's why you kind of just know it. You know, there's a radar that goes out and interprets what's happening. That radar is psychic, the psychic wavelength. It could be thoughts, feelings, pictures, just a knowingness. All the clairs, those are all the clairs, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience. So it's kind of categorized with how you're receiving this information. So there's different exercises to develop each one of those psychic senses.
And
if one wanted to.
Is that the kind of work that you do in your classes that help facilitate psychic development?
Yes, Yes. And I have to say, not just for personal gain. I'm very, very clear about my intention. The people that I attract into my life are people that are service-oriented. This is a path of service. We're working for spirit, working for God, working for the greater good. So if somebody's interested in just self-gain and they want to, whatever they want to do, just want to get buff, well, that's great, but hopefully they're repelled by my work because I feel like I'm here to offer what I know to help people develop so that they can utilize that development, utilize those gifts to be of service to other people, to help other people, you know. So that's my passion.
And that brings us to one of the questions that comes up over and over and over again. How can I tell the difference between what I want for myself and what is for the greater good and what I think I should do and what my guides are telling me to do? It all seems to many people to be very muddled.
Well, first of all, the question, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do or what my guides want me to do? First of all, our guides are not here to live our lives. Always it's our choice. It's never as they want me to do this. That's not, in my mind, really even a question. And I feel like always to understand our highest path and to know what the greatest thing that we can do with our life is to follow that thread of joy. Because life is supposed to be joyful and fun, according to Abraham Hicks. You know, and I believe that. I feel like when we're truly on our soul's highest path, we feel enlivened, we feel excited, we feel motivated, we feel inspired in spirit. It's kind of the same thing, right? And so that's really the easiest, that's just the easiest kind of roadmap that anybody can use for their life. They just boil it down to its essence. What feels the most joyful in this next moment for me? What feels the most joyful of a choose between A or B, or person A or person B, or job A or job B? What feels the most fun? What feels the most joyful? What calls me? Not what feels right on a responsibility I should level. I get that a lot. People are very conflicted because society or their husband or their family thinks this is the best route for them, the best path, but their soul is pulling them in a different direction. And it takes courage to really go by that true inner compass that's the path of joy, the path of the most love. I feel like that's, it's just simple. Isn't that simple, Susan?
It is so simple. Follow your bliss.
Yes. You don't even have to read the book. There's another one. Do what you love and the money will follow. You don't even have to read the book. I mean, go ahead and buy the book, and I'm not saying don't buy the book, but I'm saying the title says it all, both those.
Says it all.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's what my teachers have always said to me, too. Are you having fun? If you're having fun, you're on the right path.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I want to touch on the word selfish because that's a very misunderstood word, and I feel like there's a negative connotation around that word, which can be true when somebody is really self-absorbed or narcissistic and has no feeling for anybody else. But I think it's overused in a way that puts guilt on people when they really are, it all what they're really doing is taking care of themselves. Because if we're not selfish enough to take responsibility for choosing the highest path and doing what feels right to us, then we're not going to be of value to the world. We're not going to self-actualize. We're not going to help ourselves or anyone else if we're living for other people and what they think we should do. So we have to be selfish in that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be selfish enough to take care of ourselves.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Like the stewardess, so charming, who said to the 4-year-old girl sitting with her mother next to me, put your oxygen mask on before you put your doll's oxygen mask on.
You know what? That's come to me in reading before. I love that because it's true. If you're incapacitated and you're not tapped into your source and feeling like you're at your fullest, how are you going to help anybody else? You got to fill your own tank before you can go anywhere.
Right. And I thanked her. I said, thank you for helping to teach, you know, this young woman that taking care of herself is not just an option, but an important option.
That's right. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I read this a long time ago, and it was kind of in the context of psychotherapy. And it went something like, you know, the therapist can only bring their patient. They can't help them evolve their consciousness beyond where they are. So if we, as leaders and teachers and healers and however we categorize ourselves, if we're not in a if we're not taking care of ourselves and continuing to evolve and grow and learn and being selfish enough to care how we feel that we're on the right path, then we're only going to be limited to how far we can help the people who are, you know, in our path that are listening to us or reading what we're writing or taking our classes or whatever it is. We can only take somebody as far as we've ourselves come, or at least create a space for them to come to that, some awareness. You know, we can't take somebody someplace we've never been before. So that's just another reason to be really, you know, committed to one's own spiritual growth and highest path. We can continually evolve and grow and have more to give.
I hope, listeners, that this is really resonating with you. You're listening to Jennifer Henry talking with Susan Weed. And you can find Jennifer Henry at www.myuniversityoflight.com. And what will we find when we go there?
You know, I have I offer readings and classes, and I just want to say really quickly that that name, My University of Light, was given to me by my guides years ago. And what they showed me was that we all have an inner university that's always open 24 hours a day, staffed with the most wise, loving teachers that are always available. And this is a state of consciousness that we can learn to tap into and have with us all the time. We don't need to look outside of ourselves for spiritual guidance and spiritual teachers. All that we need to know is within our own consciousness. So my website has, it's kind of two-pronged. I do sessions, private sessions and group readings, and I also offer courses in psychic development and mediumship.
And when we go to that website, we will find all of those things there?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. That makes it sound ever so easy to get involved. I know that I have heard from a great many people that they really wish that they could figure out how to develop their psychic abilities. And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and, you know, very much I say to them, like what you say, start trusting what you hear. Start trusting what you hear from your guides. And my experience, and I'm curious to know if this has anything to do with your experience, my experience is that while the guides are very loving, they're not necessarily patient. And they're generally not going to tell me something twice.
You know, here's my experience, is that if somebody gives you a gift and you don't acknowledge it, you're like, oh, yeah, whatever, okay, just set it to the side. As opposed to if somebody gives you a gift, you're like, oh, my God, that's so nice, and you put it on, you wear it, and you just really appreciate it, then they're going to be that person's going to want to give you more gifts, as opposed to the first person that feels like you don't even appreciate. So our guidance gives us guidance, and if we don't listen, it's the same thing as just not acknowledging a gift. So it's kind of saying the same thing you did, you know. You're calling it patience. I'm calling it acknowledgement, you know.
Yes. I like that. That's a beautiful way to think of it, that if you don't acknowledge your guides, well, it's not like you're the only fish in their sea.
Well, it just gets harder to hear them. They never leave us. It's just if you want that guidance to get louder
leave.
And be there.
They don't necessarily proffer their advice as easily.
Right. Well, and it's just our ears become harder to hear because we didn't listen. When we don't listen, we don't develop.
When we don't listen, then we are setting up a resonance of not listening.
And it makes it harder to hear, right? So the more we use, the more we acknowledge, the more we say, oh, yeah, I'm going to act on that guidance, then the more it comes and the easier it is to hear.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Wow.
It's hard to believe, but we have less than 5 minutes left together.
It goes by so fast. You're wonderful.
What haven't you said that is really important and that you want people to know?
Oh my gosh, that's a wide open question.
That's a wide open question. And you have, you know, a couple of minutes.
Well, I just want people to know that none of us are ever lost. No matter how hard life can seem, no matter how challenging circumstances and events can be, there's always a silver lining. And if we can just get outside of our conscious mind and go inside to that inner wellspring where really all is well and that peace does reside there, and sometimes it feels impossible to get to that place, but it's there. And that's where we can see our clear next step. That's where we can feel the guidance around us and not feel like we are alone. And there's always a silver lining in anything that's happening in our lives, whether it's a difficult relationship or job situation or finances. There's always a lesson in that that'll help us to grow and understand ourselves and love ourselves and others more. And so I feel like really life on some level, is like a schoolroom, you know, and we're just here to learn. And what we're here to learn is how to love each other and ourselves. That's the only lesson.
The only lesson there is to learn is to love ourselves, and then to take that self-love and to reflect it out to others so that they also feel that love. This is what Jennifer Henry is telling us. And if you want more, go to myuniversityoflight.com, where you can ask Jennifer Henry to do a reading for you, or where you can engage with her to help strengthen your own personal psychic abilities through her mediumship, through her abilities as a medical intuitive, and just from the work that she has done as a person on this planet, following her intuition and opening herself up to her mediumship and to guidance for the good of all.
Oh,
Jennifer Henry, what a delight it has been to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and be with us and to remind us that we're never alone. Thank you for helping me to reweave the healing cloak of the ancients and to remind us all that psychic medicine and herbal medicine, they are people's medicine. They belong to everyone. Good night, Jennifer. And good night, Justine. And good night, Rebecca.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Susan.
All
next week. Dream blessings, everyone.